This is WMUK. I'm Kara Lawrence. Opera Grand Rapids will present the Orpheus story in a groundbreaking opera by 18th century composer Christoph Willibald Gluck in a modern staging realized by director and conductor Timothy Nelson. Performances are Friday and Saturday night at 7:30 p.m. at the DeVos Center for the Arts and Worship. Details at operagr.org. One of the stars of the cast is Chelsea Morris Shepherd. I spoke with her earlier this month. So, Chelsea, it's nice to talk to you. Thank you for having Kalamazoo listeners learn a little bit about this exciting production.
My pleasure. This is the classical music station I grew up listening to, so it's a real treat for me.
You grew up down the road on I-94 or Red Arrow Highway.
I sure did.
Pawpaw?
I grew up in Pawpaw, but I went to Mattawan schools.
And who were some of your early teachers there, and where did you go from there?
Well, I studied voice. My first voice teacher was David Hook, who is the choir director at Mattawan, and he music directs all the musicals there. And that's really where I got started. And he really encouraged me and thought I should be classically trained. And he handed me a burned copy of Cecilia Bartoli's, one of her CDs, and said, I think this might be where your voice is going. And he helped me prepare for my audition at DePaul University. And I auditioned at Western Michigan University as well and ended up choosing to go to the big city to go to school at DePaul. So he was a huge mentor for me. And also I was in Kalamazoo Children's Chorus, and Fred Sang was the director there and still is. And that was hugely influential as well.
Oh, that's so nice to hear. Both of those names really reverberate around here as having encouraged and seen a lot of talented young students become music professionals. How far are you into your professional career at this point?
Well, I graduated from grad school at Rice University down in Houston in 2011, and then I've just been building a career from there, but there's been some really big things starting to happen in the last year, including I got to do my New York City recital debut a year ago with New York Festival of Song, and I was a finalist for the Ryan Opera Center at Lyric Opera of Chicago and also for the Houston Grand Opera Studio. And I actually just signed a contract this week. I'm going to be understudying at Lyric Opera of Chicago in the fall.
Oh, congratulations,
I'm very excited,
Chelsea.
About. Thank you.
Wow. Are you specializing in early period repertoire? This opera itself is from the late Baroque era, early
right.
classical.
Right. It's sort of a bridge type of piece, which has been very interesting. I wasn't sure which direction we were going to go with it. I've never done any Gluck before. So I had heard, you know, from my music history classes that he's the great reformer, and that he was reacting against the convoluted plots and the convoluted music of opera seria, and that he didn't want as much elaborate vocal virtuosity. He wanted something, it was called like a noble simplicity was what he was after. But I met Tim Nelson, our conductor and director, on Saturday, and was happy to find out we're getting to do ornaments. And we're doing French Baroque ornaments, and there is evidence that that is what singers would do, because there's no way they could have just shut off all that ornamentation instantaneously. So it was moving towards a direction of not being highly ornamented, but they still would have done ornaments. So he was able to give us lots of exciting and interesting French Baroque ornaments to do, which I love doing. But I'm not specializing in early music. It just happens to be something I do a lot of and I love. I sing a lot with the Madison Bach musicians in Madison, Wisconsin. And my colleague there, Trevor Stevenson, has helped train me in some early music techniques. But my first taste of early music was as Popea in grad school, in the Coronation of Popea. So it's part of what I do, and I love it, but I'm trying to straddle both worlds here.
I would encourage listeners to visit your website, chelseamorris.com, where you've posted a few videos of you singing. I noticed the handle was particularly just beautiful. I enjoyed listening to that yesterday.
Thank you. Yeah, that's from the Handel Aria competition, which just started, I think they're in their fourth or fifth year, and it's a wonderful competition in Madison, Wisconsin, that is sort of part of the early music festival there. And Orange and Dean Schroeder started it just as a way to encourage young singers to learn Handel repertoire. And it was such a treat to sing for that competition. It was just wonderful.
Well, Chelsea, would you tell us about the actual piece? What is Orpheus and Eurydice about, and what are the themes of this opera?
Well, it's a very direct story about love and loss, and it's based on the Orpheus myth. So Orpheus wants to go into the underworld to retrieve his love, and my character, Amour, gets to help him do that. But the rule is that he's not allowed to look at her as they leave, and he looks at her anyway. So then she's sent back, and they're separated again. And then in this version, I get to come back as Amour and kind of fix the story. But it doesn't actually have your predictable happy ending in the Tim Nelson version. So I won't reveal any more than that.
Well, what is it like to play a god, or to place a character that isn't very human?
Well, so I actually played with Haymarket Opera in Chicago. I played Diana, the goddess of the hunt, and she was incredibly regal and, you know, turns to, in this version, the tenor into a stag. But Amour is completely different because it's a child. So it's actually very human in a way. I'm not like trying to think of myself as not human, but I do have this sort of omnipotence, but I also have this irreverence for what the humans are going through, which has been really fun to play with and explore this week as we do our staging.
How about the other two main characters, Orpheus and Eurydice? Do they bring human qualities to their mythic characters?
Absolutely. I mean, this is an incredibly relatable, incredibly emotional story, and the music just kind of pierces you right to the heart. I mean, this is music I'm very familiar with, but it's still, I find myself catching my breath because it's just so beautiful. And he alternates between really lyrical melodies and then a very expressive and theatrical recitative. So it's you can absolutely relate to these characters.
I think there is, when I read the synopsis, the most heartbreaking point for me is where Orpheus is in the process of saving his love from the underworld after she's died and she exists in Hades' kingdom. He can't look at her or speak to her, but he's saving her. And yet, because he won't show her any response, she decides she'll stay in hell. Why should she go back? And it's so heartbreaking, this situation.
It is. And, you know, Mozart copied this because this is what Pamina goes through in the Magic Flute. It's the same rule. Tamino's not allowed to look at her, and so she misinterprets that as, he doesn't love me anymore. I might as well stay in hell because my love doesn't love me anymore. But it's a miscommunication. And it's, you know, it's very rude of the gods to put that onus on him. Like, you know, it'd be a lot nicer if he could just go and say, hey, I love you, let's go. You know, but he has to prove himself in this strange way.
Well, I'm sure glad your character is there to make it work a little better.
Yes, and I do get to provide some comic relief, which is fun.
What is the look of this production going to be?
Well, we have this really fascinating set that Tim designed, and it's pallets. So it's these wooden pallets that have been fashioned together in this big oval, and there's going to be lighting that comes up underneath, and there's going to be a lot of kind of eerie lighting from the sides, and then there's actually a big spotlight down front that Orpheus often collapses into, and where he'll just be kind of lit, and then it'll cast big shadows up on the back of the theater. So I think it's going to be a really amazing looking production. We'll have to see when we get into Tech Week what it all looks like, but I think it's going to be really cool.
What kind of costumes will you and your co-stars be wearing?
Well, I actually haven't seen the designs for the two leads, but I get to be, they toyed with having me be a boy, since Cupid would be, but instead, and I'm really happy about this, I get to be a girl, and I get to wear this flowy, white, sort of tea-length dress that I think will be a lot of fun, to curtsy in and just play around. It'll help me portray a younger character, I think. And they're going to put these sort of flowing sleeves that go halfway down and are sort of open on the top. So I think it'll be really beautiful.
Now, it says here that Timothy Nelson is the stage director. He's also the conductor in this production. And I don't see that happening in very many productions, period. This is pretty unusual, right?
This is very unusual. I've never encountered this before, but it's working really well. I was a little worried about, knowing which person was going to be speaking to me, whether I'm going to get corrected on the music or corrected on the staging. But it works really well to have the person literally of one mind so that we can put it all together in an incredibly cohesive way. And he's also the designer. There aren't any arguments about, which part is more important or which direction it should go, because it's all from him. So it's working out really well, but this is definitely a unique situation.
Yes. So Maestro Timothy Nelson is something of wunderkind in theater and music these days?
Yes, he is. He's gaining quite a reputation, and he lives in Amsterdam and does a lot of really creative early music productions, but a whole mix of things. And his mentor is Peter Sellers.
Oh, very, very famous in the theater. My goodness. So this is for you as part of your career, what a terrific chance to collaborate with
exactly
with him. And tell me a little more about your co-stars.
So they are very well versed in the early music world. I would say, I believe Clara is specializing in early music. And she actually, Zach and I got here on Saturday and Clara came on Monday because she was doing a gig in Denver singing in, I believe it was St. John's Passion. So she comes to us from more specialized early music and also a lot of concert work. I don't think she does opera quite as much. But she has a gorgeous voice, and she's just going to be a heart-wrenching Eurydice. And then Zach is based in Seattle, and he is actually came very late to singing. I think he told me he didn't start singing until he was like 24, but he is just mega talented, and it's thrilling singing. I mean, and this is a high punishing role. We're doing the French version, which is was premiered in 1774 at Paris Opera. And so they actually changed the... Orpheus was originally an alto castrato, and then they made it for a tenor, for a high tenor, high French tenor. And they reorchestrated it in order to suit the French poetry, and Gluck also added more dance numbers. So it's a real treat to hear, a strong, full, visceral tenor voice take on this role.
Now, it's been 15 minutes that we've been talking about this opera. How is it actually pronounced? Am I getting it close?
Well, it's confusing because we're doing it in French, so technically it's Orphée et Eurydice, but I've heard Orpheus and Eurydice.
Eurydice, okay. Well, and I've been saying Eurydice. I don't know.
I think it's all, because then, of course, it was originally Italian. So I think there's a lot of acceptable pronunciations. That's what I'm going to go with.
Well, thanks, Chelsea.
Maybe they're all correct.
Well, I think I'll just leave it in for listeners to choose what they prefer either way.
And they can write in with their choice. It'll be like a voting thing.
Well, it's been really nice to chat with you today, Chelsea. And it's really exciting to know that you know, you grew up among us all here in the last couple of decades and became a professional singer, an opera star. And with the right kind of encouragement and training, a lot of people today who are young can go that route as well. And I'm so thrilled to hear that you listened to public radio growing up. Thank you so much.
Oh, absolutely. My mother always had it on in the kitchen. And that's where my original training was. My mother was a pianist, so she got me interested in all this. And my dad owned a record store, so I had the classical and the rock influence.
Oh, fantastic. Thanks so much, Chelsea, and all the best with this production of Orphée et Eurydice.
Excellent. Thank you. And we're really looking forward to it.